He said, I'm in the hallway like this. And it dawned on him, he's asleep. Wakes me up. What are you doing? I was dreaming that I was a stewardess on an airline. I have no idea what in the world. So we dream. And you've got your dreams, and if you'd like to share a good one, I'll bring yours to the pulpit. We'll do another lesson, and we'll plug it in somewhere. We dream. We are dreaming people. Sometimes, though, or if not most of the time, we're dreaming when we didn't know we would, didn't intend to necessarily. Much is made about man's dreams, what they mean, that sort of thing. I don't know if half the time anybody knows what they're talking about, but it sounds good, and you make money off of it if you counsel people that way. But we dream. Scripture's not silent on dreams and visions, as I said earlier, and dreams and visions in the Bible, even employed by the divine spirit for our encouragement or someone's encouragement for some warning given or some revelation given. Throughout Scripture, we see all of these three things and maybe others. Where dreams or visions were employed by the divine for some purpose, some specific purpose like that. You see that in Genesis chapter 20 with Abimelech. You see it in Judges chapter 7 with Gideon. You see it in Daniel chapter 4 with Nebuchadnezzar. You see it in Matthew 1. You see it in Acts chapter 10, for example, with Cornelius. And these are just a few places where you see the employment of a dream or a vision for some purpose. And so not only is Scripture not silent on the fact that they take place, but God is not removed even for the purpose of those things that we see in Scripture from time to time. Dreams have inspired people. Dr. Martin Luther King, I have a dream. Now, how many times since he said that has that been said again and replayed again and again for a purpose? Dreams inspire people. I have a friend, two friends actually, from college, one from college, and these two guys met in college. One of these two guys I had gone from elementary through high school with or through college with. So we had gone to church together, been in the youth group together at Bellevue. But the other, they did not know one another until they met in college. They had a class together at Lipscomb, and late in their college years, and especially their senior year, they began to dream a little bit. Do you think we could do this? And what this was just a small little sideline. You know, this one was going to major in this. This one was going to major in that. They were going to have their own jobs and probably go separate ways. They weren't really talking about something where they could make a business that would sustain them forever together. They'd be business partners in this thing that really takes off. And 40 years later, they'd walk off into the sunset together and pass it to their families. This was just some little nothing in their mind that was fun to do. They'd enjoy doing it. And if they could just break even or make just a little bit here and there, that was great. But it was nothing but a side business. And Wayne already knows where I'm going with this because he's in school too. It was just a side business. Well, let me tell you how that went. It started in a garage. It moved beyond a garage to an actual business space. It kept moving from there into multiple locations. And then eventually, this little nothing started in the garage that would be a side business that we could just break even off of and have a little fun from our regular work. Almost an escape. Yeah. Well, they sold that little business to Yahoo for $100 million. Oh, let's keep dreaming. If they're going to be silly enough, stupid enough not to ask for a non-compete, then I can do this again. And they did it again. And they sold their second one for more than that. We know this is Rivals.com and 247Sports.com. And now he's in a third one, which, watch, this is everything he touches seems to do this. Watch, he'll turn and do it again, and now Adam Sparks knows who I'm talking about. These two guys had a little dream. I'll tell you about a more important dream in just a minute. But I want to ask this morning, what are your dreams? Do you have any? Scripture is not silent on the idea of you and I dreaming differently than whatever it was that had me carrying a pillow in the hallway and meeting my dad in the middle of the night. And even getting beyond two guys studying what might be fun and be a little side business and hope to break even that turns into that. Scripture's admonitions and push and consideration for our dreaming is for a different purpose. Let me ask you, do you have dreams? It's not unbiblical to have dreams. It's not unbiblical to have desires. But what are your dreams and desires? Because you should be dreaming about certain things. This morning we look at some passages like this one. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. Are you dreaming? Can you see? Jesus said it this way. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to every creature. And he goes on and says more. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Jesus was a dreamer. From and for his Father's purpose first, for all the world. I want you to go into all the world because I believe people throughout the world for all times will be lacking and will see they're lacking in something and will be hungry for something better, hungry for something deeper, hungry for something spiritual, hungry for something saving. Jesus himself was a dreamer of sorts. And having a vision for his people. Hebrews chapter 11, the great by faith chapter. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Seeing him who is unseen. How was it in Hebrews 11, as we look at these individuals who comprise this great hall of fame, as we say, of faith? You know, for he went out not knowing where he was going. How do you do that? He could see him who was unseen. What are your dreams? What do you think about? Does it ever get beyond today? And does it ever get beyond the flesh? And does it ever get beyond you? Does it get to the eternal? What would it take to have those dreams? What are your dreams? Who are they for? That's the second question I want to ask you. Who are your dreams for? We might say about. Who will they affect? Why are you dreaming this dream? Is it only for you? Now listen, I don't think there was a thing wrong with Shannon and Greg dreaming in the garage about a little side business. Something we could do, something they could put together and they could benefit from. I don't think that's wrong. But I tell you what's absolutely wrong. When my dreams stay there, there is something spiritually wrong. And so I don't want to just ask you the one question, what are your dreams? Right? We could have just said, are you dreaming at all? Because I don't believe that our Lord created us to pass the time. Are you dreaming at all? And what are your dreams? But a second, maybe better and deeper question, who are they for? Jesus would say in Matthew 22, verse 39, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor like yourself. So as I dream to meet that scripture, I would occasionally, maybe you think, need to be dreaming for something that could affect somebody besides me if I'm to love my neighbor as myself. Not just what are your dreams, but who are they for is the question. In Matthew chapter 20, the same Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so I'm asking not just do you have dreams, but who are they for, and do they ever get past you? And maybe not just you, but your immediate family. Because that's kind of still you. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. I'll be used up. I'll be gladly used up for you. Spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? I love that first phrase. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. What are your dreams? And do they ever get past you? Who are they for? Thursday night, we had our annual benefit for World Christian Broadcasting. I will breathe easier this coming week than I have for 8, 10, 12 weeks straight. One of the perils of being a local guy on the development team is that since our annual benefit dinner is here, then it falls on the local guy. The guy in Texas doesn't have to fool with it, and so on. And so every spring, Andy, I need you to get 600 or 700 people to a dinner. I need you to find us table sponsors. I need to hear how much we need to raise. We need to so on. Great. At this particular one, it was most special. Because we honored Maurice Hall. We had a nice moment of silence there, put his picture up on the screen, talked about him. Andy Baker did a bit. Maurice Hall died just a little over a month ago. Maurice Hall, a great minister of the gospel and just a great man, he died at age 99, just before his 100th birthday. Maurice Hall was the founder of World Christian Broadcasting. Maurice Hall was a second lieutenant at the close of World War II. And he was charged by Roosevelt with supplying all the communications equipment for the Yalta Conference. Many of you know, remember what that was about. And so all the world leaders were there. And they would be communicating around the world from this conference. And he was charged with providing all the communications equipment. And he provided, by shortwave radio, the communications equipment for the Yalta Conference and for that to get done. And he began to dream right after that, wait a minute, we were able to send a message from here to here to here to here. How were we able to do that? How were we able to gain power by skipping over water? It bounces off the ionosphere, and if it meets a potential jam or block, it's like the kids' game whack-a-mole. Played at Six Flags or something. Raise your hand if you know what whack-a-mole is. Way too many of you know what whack-a-mole is. It's whack-a-mole in the sky. Okay, that's shortwave bounces off the ionosphere, and it's like whack-a-mole in the sky. China has been trying to block our signal for 36 years. Russia used to try to jam our signal back when they were the communist country prior to the wall falling. it's like whack-a-mole in the sky because it bounces off the ionosphere, and if an attempted jam is there, or a block of some kind, it just bounces and bounces back up and comes in at a different angle. So to try to block shortwave radio, it's like whack-a-mole in the sky. Brother Maurice Paul decided to continue to dream that people around the world, especially in hard-to-reach places, and especially in, at that point in time, of course, nations opposed to the preaching of the gospel or Bibles being in their country, could hear the gospel. When they decided this was going to happen, and funds had been raised, and people had been put together, and decisions had been made for certain things around the world, and where those first towers and transmitters needed to be. There was five people. There were supposed to be six on a plane. Maurice Hall was very, very ill and could not go. And he hated that because this was his baby. His right-hand man on this was Dr. Lowell Perry with Abilene Christian University. He was on that plane and four other people. And as they were looking for the place to build the towers, the plane went down and everybody on board was killed. One of my good friends is Greg Perry. That was his dad, Dr. Lowell Perry, who died literally for the sake of the gospel. Who died so that other people could hear the name of Jesus. Do you think that might have been for the rest of his life just a little important for Brother Maurice Hall, who was supposed to be on that plane and his friends went down trying to find a place to build the first antennas that would reach a people they would never know, never meet, unnamed to them, but known to God, who they will now meet in heaven because somebody dreamed and dreamed beyond themselves? What are your dreams? Who are they for? Third question, how long will they last? Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. What are your dreams? Who are they for? And how long will they last? That's the third question. How long will they last? Maurice Hall had a dream that would last well beyond his years and even living to nearly 100 years of age. In fact, his dream will last until the Lord returns. Do you have dreams? Who are they for? And how long will they last? Set your mind on things above. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven, not here. So if earlier in the lesson, and I asked the question, what are your dreams? Or do you have them? Are you dreaming? What was your response internally? And if your response internally was, yes, I have dreams. Somebody says, I have big dreams. And maybe if you could outline them for us, we would all say, that's a marvelous dream. But again, who are they for? And how long will they last? Fourth question. Relating to dreaming and dreaming for others and dreaming for something that gets beyond the here and the now, what are you doing? That's our fourth question. So what are you doing? Got dreams? Yeah, I've got dreams. Who are they for? Well, some of my dreams include some other folks. Wonderful. How long will they last? Those things you're dreaming about, if that happens, how long will that last? Oh. Well, somebody says, I have dreams, and they're not for me, and they're eternal. What are you doing? Because dreams have to put on work clothes. Dreams have to put on work clothes to come to fruition. What are you doing? Columbus was this close. Columbus was this close to being put to death on that boat. You brought us out here. You don't know what you're doing. We're going in the wrong direction. We're not going to find this place. Columbus was this close to being put to death by the other people on the ship. Until he saw grass floating. And he knew he had to be near something. What are you doing? Jesus would say in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. So a sense of urgency about getting done what we need to get done, what the Lord wants us to get done, and what he deserves us to get done. Night is coming. John 9:4, when no man can work. I think it's wonderful if you and your buddy are working on a little something in the garage. I think it's wonderful when people do that and it explodes. And they do so well, especially when they have a certain heart about them, that they can then turn that into helping a whole lot of people. And with $200 million or more, you can help a lot of people. And they do. This I know. I think it's wonderful when you dream. Dreaming is biblical. No man sets out to build a tower without first counting the cost. But I don't think we meet the intentions, God's intentions for us in living and in dreaming, or in dreaming. If our dreams are always about us, and if our dreams never get beyond the here and the now, and if our dreams never put on work clothes, what are your dreams? Who are they for? How long will they last? And what are you doing? In invitation time, I have to be reminded of the passage of Scripture which says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Maybe than the 99 who need no repentance. Now, quite frankly, I have wrestled with the interpretation of that phrase and that passage from are truly at that moment not in need, but then I think, well, everybody's in a rather constant need. The world is in a constant need of repentance, and even Christians are in some regularity of need of repentance, not only for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but all keep on sinning and keep on falling short of the glory of God. So I kind of wrestle with that, frankly, just personally, on they need no, or there's no felt need for it. Yes and yes. Heaven is dreaming about you. People are thinking about you. People are seeing you. The God of heaven sees you. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro about the earth, seeking not who he may devour, like our adversary, it's true about our adversary, but seeking those who he needs to strengthen. It may be that in your family, the things you're dreaming about can't happen until something happens with you. You are the catalyst. You're the only catalyst right now for something to get done in somebody else's life that you dream about. And you're dreaming long-term things, and you're dreaming spiritual things. But the problem in getting that done in their life is not, why is God not zapping them with the fruition of my dream, but what are you doing? People are thinking about you, and people are needing you. God first had a dream of sorts. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do it even this morning. He wants to draw you, and I hope you'll let him. If you have any other need, we'll also be standing to encourage you. We can pray with you. You can speak of sorts to the congregation about needs in your life, and they can rally around you and support you. If you have a need, and if you have a dream, we'll stand to encourage and help you come.